Well, it's good to be with all of you this morning. Last week, I couldn't be here as I was preaching at the North Campus in our new church plant in San Mateo. It was very encouraging to see how far this church has grown and how far they've come. A couple of years back, we planted a North Campus in San Mateo, led by Pastor Kenneth, and now it's over 100 people worshiping there. When I was there, I couldn't recognize more than 50% of those who were worshiping there, and now they've established an English ministry service with a couple of kids and parents, and we're praying and believing that God will add to their numbers. Now, we all know when we're stepping out in faith to do something that God has commanded us to do, when we take those steps of obedience, there's always going to be roadblocks. There's always going to be obstacles. Because as you grow in your faith, you grow in obedience, the enemy starts putting up these roadblocks. And it's not been an easy path for North Campus. So I encourage all of us to keep them in our prayers, continue to pray for the team there, and believing the best is yet to come for our brothers and sisters. Well, today, we're going to continue our missions month, and I have an important topic that I want to share with you that's been on my heart, and that's the topic of first having a hunger for God, a yearning for the Spirit of God in our souls before we go out to missions. You see, I'm not sure about you, but it's been biting away at my heart all these years, ever since I came to Home of Christ 8 years ago, that every October, we have missions month. We hear messages about it. We know as Christ followers, we commanded in the Bible to go and spread the gospel. We are told to give to different mission organizations. We are told to go out ourselves, whether it's locally or internationally. But many of us, including myself, no matter how much we try to muster within ourselves, we can't take that step of faith to do missions. It's been an internal struggle within me for quite some time, and I'm sure for you as well, and something that I've observed throughout the years. What's going on? Why is this the case? We know the head knowledge, right? We come to church, we come to Sunday school, we're fed all this Bible knowledge, but yet we can't go out. We can't give. I think the problem is this. I think often in the Christian life, we can easily tack or add something on because it's just what we do as Christians. October, missions month, we better do something. April, it's Easter, we better do something. Oh, December is coming around, we better do something for Christmas. And we start turning these wheels as Christians. We grow numb and lukewarm, and a lot of the stuff that we hear now comes in one ear and goes out the other. This morning, I'm pressing in and I'm believing that we need a great revival of God, a restoration of our hearts and our minds towards God to be filled with Him and Him alone, because only when we experience this mighty work of God, then you and I will be able to go to do what God has commanded us to do. So today's message is an important one for Missions Month. It's titled, Revival Leads to Missions. Revival leads to missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word, we pray that you speak to us loudly and powerfully and that our hearts may be soft to what you have to say. But Lord, we are pressing in that you revive our church, you revive us as individuals, and you do that work of restoration so that no longer are we lethargic to the things of your word, but Lord, we are ignited to go and do what you have commanded. So Lord, help us this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bay Area is known for many things to people all over the world. The first thing that comes to mind for most people is tech, startup culture, the good weather, the diversity of people and food. But there's one thing that the Bay is actually quite famous for, and not many people know this, but it's the good health. And according to stats, San Francisco has one of the lowest obesity rates in all of the US. People here in the Bay are very health conscious, and explains why you actually don't see many smokers around. And that's something we actually noticed when we came to the Bay 8 years ago, that nobody smokes here. But fair to say, most of us here are pretty health conscious as well. If you are, then you know that in order to have a healthy lifestyle, a healthy body, a lot of it actually starts with what you eat, what you consume, what you have in the fridge. And we know we got to fill it up. We're taught from a young age to fill it up with what's in the healthy food pyramid. A bit of greens, healthy fats, lean meats, a good balance of nuts and fruits. So when we do grocery shopping, most of us hopefully do right by our bodies and we head out to get the right stuff. Now, if you're like my family, I'm sure many of you are, in fact, 100% of you are, next to the fridge or maybe on top of the fridge, you have this special cupboard. And in that cupboard lies many different snacks, sodas, goodies, foods that pair very well with Netflix or a movie at home. You know what I'm talking about, right? Popcorn, maybe instant noodles, candy, chocolate, beer. It's for those rainy days, maybe when we're feeling a bit down, or maybe when we want to relax a little, or maybe when we want to just let go of all the stress of life. So instead of going to the fridge with all that healthy greens and fruits, we opt for what's inside this cupboard. Recently with parenting, it's been quite tough. With a toddler and a newborn, at the end of the day, I'm completely spent. And I have to be honest, I always go to this cupboard and pull out the things that I want to eat. I'm smashing those instant noodles. I'm having those chips, those sodas. And I'm not going to lie, it tastes very, very nice. But I'm always left wanting more. So what do I do? I'm old enough, so I drive to In-N-Out. I drive to McDonald's. And I keep on filling myself. But I've noticed something. Those things don't fill me up. Those highly processed snacks and burgers, sodas, just don't have the nutrients in them to make me feel fully satisfied. You know what I'm talking about, right? And so this experience of snacking and whatnot, as I was thinking about lately and experiencing for myself, that's actually the way a lot of Christians are living. Christians know they need God. We know we need to have a hunger for God, and we know we need to run to Him for all things and find our ultimate satisfaction in Christ alone. But many Christians today are looking elsewhere to satisfy themselves, too often running to these temporary worldly pleasures to find satisfaction. And just like that special cupboard that we all have, we keep on going back to the world to try and fill ourselves. We're looking at culture, and we'll consume a little bit of that, a little bit of this. And you know what's happening? What's going on is, well, those things may satisfy us temporarily, like money and status and entertainment and all the other little gods that we have created in our lives, but it's truly not satisfying at all. And that's why many Christians cannot live to their fullest potential, because instead of filling themselves with God, what we've done is we've filled ourselves with the world. You see, I believe today every Christian, the church is in a desperate need for a reviving work of God, for God's revival to come upon us. And we know the church in the West is on a massive decline. Less and less people are interested in Christianity. And people within the church are battling being lukewarm. So today I believe we need a great hunger for God. And we need to crave an outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives. And what comes from that is that we're able to then go do missions. Now you might ask, Ben, well, how does this revival come about? What does it look like? Well, whatever background you have, when I say the word revival, it may bring up some preconceived notion of what revival is. Maybe it's like a big crusade, or maybe you think it's another church that's always going on about revival. I found this to be quite helpful when it comes to the definition of revival. James Packer, in one of his books, he says this. I've got it on the screen. He says, revival is the visitation of God which brings to life Christians who have been sleeping and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Thence springs a vivid sense of sin, a profound exercise of heart in repentance, praise, and love with an evangelistic outflow. You see, each revival moment throughout history in the Bible has its own distinct features, but the pattern is the same every time. First, when revival comes, God comes. God powerfully shows up, and there's this great sense of awe and joy and even shock that the holiness of God has arrived. Second, the gospel is appreciated. We feel this sense of God. We have this overwhelming sense of our own sin and our sinfulness. And we appreciate the cleansing blood of Christ. Third, repentance deepens. Throughout history, if you read these books, you often hear stories of people returning all the items that they have stolen. Repentance leads to people owning up to their mistakes. And finally, the Spirit works fast. People grow in godliness, Christians mature, and most importantly, converts appear. And so I don't know when we'll experience these things as a church. I hope we do someday. And I hope all of us yearn for this experience. Today, I meet many Christians that think revival is a thing of the past. It will never happen today. But I beg to differ. I believe as Christians, we need to set up a level of expectation that God will do the same that he did today, that he did yesterday. You see, we need to posture our minds and our hearts every day to have a constant hunger for God, feeding on him and only him. I believe only when we do this, put simply, when we have more of God, missions naturally overflows. And so today I want to help all of us to posture and position our hearts and our minds and our hearts for revival. And when we experience this, then we'll be able to do what he commands. So first, I want to talk about this. What are you filling yourself with? What are you filling yourself with? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me there. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. John says, "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God would live forever." I really appreciate verse 16. Continuing on in the theme of eating, John uses the word craving here. The cravings of sinful man, the craving of the lust of his eyes, and the craving of the boasting of his achievements. John reminds his readers and he reminds us today, this is the tendency of human beings to fulfill the natural desires of their flesh, the things that we see, the pride of life, what we have achieved. Here it's actually very interesting because it's an allusion to the temptation that happened in Genesis, in the garden. The craving of the flesh, of the taste of the fruit, the desires of the eyes stimulating to covet what was forbidden, and the pride of life knowing that once you eat this fruit, you become like God. And if you carefully notice, that's how many of us live today. What happened at the garden continues to happen in our lives right now. We're trying to always crave for the things of this world, our flesh. We're always coveting over other things. We're always boasting in our achievements. But in chapter 2, verse 17, John teaches us that there's a stark contrast between these two ways of living. One fades away. The world and all it offers, it doesn't fill you up and it will fade away. But the other one is of great value. It's got a lot of nutrients. It's eternal blessing and it ultimately fills you up because that's God's way. And so ultimately, we've got to ask ourselves this question. Are we too full on the things of this world that will one day fade away? Or are we filling ourselves up with God? That's the question I have to ask myself every single morning when I wake up. Do I now check my phone or do I go to the Word of God? That's the thing that I have to ask myself every time I look at something in the world. Do I covet over these things or do I be grateful for the things that I already have? You see, I think for many of us, the problem is that we have positioned ourselves to feed on other things instead of God. Let me give you an example. I remember as a college student, classes will be from morning all the way to evening. And as college students, we're always snacking, right? You're always snacking, always going out with your friends to cafes and restaurants. And so I remember my first year of college, I was always going out with my friends, always eating food throughout the day. Now, as I was doing this, at the same time, my mom would be at home. She'll research this new recipe, and then she'll be cooking up this meal, and she'll go up grocery shopping, and she'll make sure it's perfect. And so when I come home for dinner, it'll be ready, and I'm well fed. But you know how it goes. You've already had your fill outside, right? With your friends, with your at the restaurants, and drinking and all that. And so you go home, and you're like, "Oh, mom, I'm really full. I can't eat anything else." And my mom used to be so angry. Why? Because I've had my fill elsewhere. You see, likewise as Christians today, we're too full from this culture. We're too full from this world. And we don't have room to do things for God because we have given ourselves to this world. But we know those things ultimately fade away. And it doesn't satisfy our inner cravings. But only when we choose God, only when we do what he pleases, we'll be fully satisfied. Which leads me to my second point. Every day, we have to decide which menu you want to go with. You have to decide which menu you want to go with. Riff and I, when we go out to eat, I know exactly what I want. I tell it to the waiter straight away, while Riff's the person like, "Oh, just a couple of minutes, thank you." And the waiter goes, and comes around a couple minutes later, and she's like, oh, just one more minute. I'm still deciding. And the waiter then comes around, and she's like, oh, I'll have this one. Oh, maybe I'll get this one. You know, she's like, I can't make a decision. And I was thinking about this. Each and every one of us, we've got to make a decision on the menu. Why? Every day, the moment we wake up, you and I are being given two menus. Two menus. Keeping with this food analogy this morning, we have two different menus from which to nourish ourselves. The first menu is from the enemy. It's long, has many choices. Have you been to those like Chinese restaurants where I was talking to Sabrina, one of our young adults, this week about these Chinese restaurants have these booklets, right? So many to choose from. And so she was telling me that Rainbow Pizza in San Mateo, who's been there? Rainbow Pizza in San Mateo has this like a big book. And she was like, the book is bigger than Aaron. And you just have to, it's endless choices. That's like the evil one, isn't it? His menu, he offers us all these choices every day. Wealth, power, authority, recognition, approval from others, sexual pleasure outside God's will. All these are junk food, which tastes good in the moment, but it doesn't provide any genuine nourishment for believers. It reminds me of the story of Luke 15, where the prodigal son, he goes out and he chooses all this junk food. He chooses to party and live a lavish lifestyle, but he realizes it doesn't satisfy him. So he walks away feeling empty and lost. You see, those who indulge in this menu from the evil one walk away disappointed, empty, and disillusioned. Maybe many of you, you've had your fill of junk food. Maybe that's why you're seated here today, because you know what the world offers and you know it doesn't satisfy. Recently, a college student was telling me when they came back this time around, they said, My whole first year, I've just been pursuing other things, life outside of God. But then I feel completely and utterly lost. In contrast, we have God's menu. God's menu is not like the evil one. It's not a book of many choices. It's one choice. It's very simple. Each and every day, we have one and only option, and that is Jesus. Jesus is Son of God, the one who came to die for us and to give us life to its fullest. You see, when we feast on Jesus, when we choose Jesus, he gives us that peace, joy, contentment, and security that we long for. I can't tell you the amount of times whenever my old friends, we meet up and chat back in Australia, we used to talk about life now, and they always used to mention all the junk food that they used to eat, not literal junk food, but all the things of this world. And they always say to me, Ben, I've realized after all these years, and a lot of them say, oh, especially being a dad now and a parent, that Jesus alone is enough. Coming to Jesus and being satisfied with him is everything that I've been craving for in my soul. Friends, we've got to make that decision, and it has to be quick. You either choose the world or you choose God. And if you choose God this morning, when the Lord is the greatest desire of your heart, it affects every area of your life. We start living for him instead of ourselves. Our direction in life is no longer what we want to do, but what he wants to do through us. So today, I want to invite all of us this morning to reflect and to think about what the psalmist has said. In Psalms 34:8 says, "The taste and see that the Lord is good," or the joy of those who take refuge in him, which is my last point. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Keeping with the food metaphor, taste and see, in modern terms, it's try it, you'll like it. Give it a shot, you'll like it. This is one thing that I've been saying to my firstborn a lot, to Erin. As she's growing from newborn to toddler, they're starting to experiment with different foods. One time I thought it would be really funny because one of her favorite animals is sheep. She really loves sheep. And she always calls, like, in Chinese, it's like yang mei mei, right? Yang mei mei, like, you know, little sheep or little sister sheep, right? Anyways, I thought it would be funny one day when I was doing grocery shopping. I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I bought lamb meat and cooked it so well and tell her it was lamb? It was yang mei mei, right? Anyways, when I got home, I boiled this like lamb riblets, and then I said, oh, I say in Chinese. I talked to her in Chinese, but I translate. I said, try some, right? And she was a bit hesitant at first because she hadn't seen that meat. And I would tell her, like, oh, just smell it, you know, like, it smells good, And then she would smell, and then she would give a little nibble at it, a little bite. And when the moment I've noticed, when the lamb entered her mouth, her eyes opened. She looked at me and started nodding her head. That's when she communicates to me that she likes it. And then I tell her, it's lamb. I was like, young Mei Mei, right? And then her eyes get fixated on this lamb. There's no going back for her. She'll never be vegan. The other day, she actually ate a whole lamb shank by herself. That's what King David is urging us to do. He's like, try it. You'll like it. And he's inviting all of us to discover what God has to offer, the goodness of God's salvation. Psalm 34:8 is an invitation to take God at his word, to trust in the Lord, to realize that he's good and he's faithful. And once we have tasted that, once we have tasted his word, once we have seen the glory and the beauty in worship, we start to realize he's the only one that truly satisfies. No one or nothing in this culture can fill us up the way God does. And when you have tasted and seen that he's good, you can't help but tell others about it. You can't help but go out and say, hey, come and try. You never know what Jesus might do in your life. Today, I hope all of us can taste and see what God has intended for us. When we experience him, when we spend time with him through worship, through the word, coming to church fellowship, we'll start noticing that that's all we want. We want more of God. We want more of him. You know, one afternoon, a couple months back, the church brother is actually not here present, so I can talk about him. I bumped into him at Costco. And I won't mention his name for privacy's sake. But I bumped into him at Costco. And the first thing he was telling me was about all the samples that he's just tasted. And he was just chumming it down, and it was filled with joy. And he was telling me, hey, Ben, in aisle 16, you can get this. And then if you combine, you know, what's in aisle 5 with aisle 7, you can make a meal out of it. This guy, I was actually thinking, I was standing there listening to him. I was thinking, man, he's tasted and seen what is good. And he just wants to share with the world that, you know, what he's combined together is of great value. And I thought about this story, and I thought, friends, you see, when we posture our hearts and our minds for reviving work of God, I believe God will honor that. I believe God will come and do his work among us, changing us, transforming us, filling us with his mighty spirit. And when we say yes to him and no to everything else, once we've tasted and seen that it's good, all we want more of is God. All we can think of is God. All we desire is God. So as I wrap it up this morning, you see, when we have more of God, when we hunger more of him, missions naturally overflows into every of our lives. Missions is always birthed out of a pursuit of God. And so the question that I ask you all this morning is, are we hungering for God things or the things of this world? Second, we have two menus to choose from. Every day, every moment we wake up, we need to be quick in our decision. Every evening, we need to be quick in our decision. Do we choose from the list of the enemy that never satisfies? Or do we choose every morning and every evening from the menu that God supplies us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come down to be among us, to make his dwelling among us, to come and take our every sin, our every evil thought, and lay it upon himself and take it to the cross, and his precious blood has washed us clean. And last, I want to encourage all of you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Every time you're faced with some sort of issue or uncertainty or season of doubt in life, run to God. Taste and see that he's good. Every morning you wake up, say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Help me to keep my eyes fixated on you this morning. Spend time in his word. Talk to him through prayer. And what you start noticing as you do this is that all you want is him. All you want is more of him. All the cravings of this life will be filled and satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have taught us to not to crave the things of this world, to not find satisfaction in the things that the enemy has offered, but you have taught us to choose you. You have told us to run to you. You have told us to look to you. And so, Lord, this morning, no matter what season that we're in, no matter the journeys that we've been on, we run to you and you alone. And Lord, at this time we pray. We pray that you revive our souls, that you revive our church, you revive our community, because Lord, we need you. We need you to do that mighty work, because no longer can we stay in this state. No longer can we just turn the wheels. No longer can we just churn out the things because that's what we've been told to do. No longer can we stay in lukewarmness. Lord, it's time for us to step out in victory, to be more than conquerors, to be able to walk out in complete faith, to see this society, see our families, see our schools, see our workplaces transformed by Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us this morning. We pray and we yearn for that mighty work of God to be among us. We yearn like the saints of old in the Great Awakening, where their lives were so touched that missionaries were sent out, that lives were changed, that marriages were restored, that people were confessing of their sins. We long for that time, Lord, where we fall to our faces at your holiness. We long for that time when we appreciate the gospel and we come and savor the Lord Jesus Christ. We long for that day where every day we taste and see that the Lord is good. So help us this morning. We humbly ask, but Lord, we also come with great expectation, knowing that you will do this mighty work, that you will come, because Lord, you have honored your own word, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we thank you. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Let's